welcome one and all once again to Duel World in episode 106. It's been a really quiet week in games, but we'll find something to talk about as we always do. But before we get there, let's introduce our Council of Gamers. We have Martin.
Hey, I'm finally back.
Yes, he's been hidden in some Monster Hunter realm. We have Daniel.
I've been away for a while and I've been wrestling with Skype and
He's been wrestling with the wonderful world of Skype and Microsoft. And we have Chad. who has the energy of six teenagers on Red Bull.
Just six. Only six.
But we have a show for you this week. I have no idea.
What an enthusiastic start. I love it.
Feel the energy pulsing through this crew right now?
Just because I feel like there isn't much news to talk about. We've been going through, we've been talking for like half an hour trying to find stuff, and there's really not much to talk about. And there hasn't really been major new releases in the past 2 weeks, so a bunch of the games we're going to talk about is old stuff. But since we haven't actually had this discussion on the show, and because he has spent the better part of a week there, we're going to kick it off with Martin and Monster Hunter.
I even played more than just Monster Hunter. I played a lot of games, but okay.
Where do you find the time?
Dude, I had nothing to do. I played Monster Hunter, I played Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah, you did.
And Guacamelee.
Oh, Guacamelee looks good too.
So, okay, let's start with Monster Hunter. Dude, guys, Monster Hunter is really good. I played a lot of it. I mean, earlier, before the podcast started, we started talking about how much I played of it. I mean, I have it since March 28th, and so it's slightly over 2 weeks, and I already played it for 127 hours. Five days of those I didn't even get to play because I was in Vienna. So yeah, it's kind of addicting.
You think?
Yep. I mean, it's this game. I mean, it's just for me. It's just a perfect combination. It's an action game where I do nothing but boss fights that are kind of awesome because I just love these monster designs and the fights are actually really interesting. And combine that with a loot system where I get new monster parts and craft all kinds of cool weapons and armors. I mean, if any of these parts are for you, then you will really enjoy Monster Hunter. I mean, there is the hump at the beginning, learning some of the systems, because some of it is kind of obtuse, but after that, it's just amazing, especially when you start playing online with other people, which works quite well on the Wii U. I have no lag issues or something like that whatsoever. And hunting with people together, coordinating, like, okay, who takes traps to maybe catch the monster, and maybe somebody should get dung bombs in case other monsters show up, so you can scare them away and stuff like that, and exploiting weaknesses of specific enemies. It's just so good. And I mean, the progression is also kind of genius in a way. When you have the offline mode, which is separated in low rank and high rank, basically two difficulty levels and quests, and you also have the same in online with different quests, actually, which is interesting. So you don't play anything twice. The genius thing about that is that earlier on, you don't meet all the monsters. So basically, in low rank, you have a specific set of monsters. Then in high rank, they add new monsters or subspecies. Subspecies are basically like, for example, there's a monster called Kurupeko, which is a bird which calls other monsters to help. And later on, you fight Crimson Kuropeko, and which is a subspecies. And those can have like new attack patterns, new attacks in general, or new elemental status effects, for example, which keeps things interesting. And then, of course, they introduce entirely new monsters. Online, I got G rank, and I'm still basically encountering new monsters that I have not seen before, and that keeps it interesting because you have new challenges ahead with new stuff you have to learn, and that just keeps the game being interesting.
Are you done talking?
Yeah, I'm done talking. I mean, I don't know what else I should tell you. I'm not breaking down all the gameplay systems for you.
But it sounds like even if you gave you a full hour, you couldn't do that properly. It seems like a very intricate game that takes some time to get used to.
Yeah.
I will say this.
I'm actually thinking about maybe writing something up on it for the site. I've been thinking about lately all people are talking about, oh man, all these games like Dota 2 or Monster Hunter or EVE Online, they are so difficult to get into. I can never get into, so I try. And I've been thinking about maybe writing something up. A dumb attitude to end these games. We will see.
Yeah, I was gonna.
I tried all of these games. I have to say, it's not all that difficult to get into all three of them.
The thing is, it's a very slow game that only particular people are gonna get into. Because I can't.
I got fairly quickly bored. I mean, after the hump in the beginning, the progression is really not that
slow. Oh, I'm not talking about the progression, I'm talking about just the gameplay. It's very slow and intricate. And it's not the kind of game that I could ever play.
Well, if you like Dark Souls, it's not...
Yeah, I don't like Dark Souls.
if you like Dark Souls combat, it's not that much different from combat Monster Hunter. It's mostly about... because Monster Hunter, just like Dark Souls, has the animation priority. So your attacks have... Well, mostly you're using huge weapons, so they have... your attacks are quite the wind-up time, and you have to time it right and know the patterns of the enemies to land good hits and not get hit yourself. But it's something you learn, and then when you master it, it's just really, really satisfying. For example, for G-Rank, I started using the hammer. So I'm swinging around a huge hammer, which is kind of slow, but when I time it just right and know where the head of the monster is going to be after specific attacks, and then hit the head and basically knock the monster unconscious for a short time, so my team can just wail on it. It's just a great feeling, and if that's something you can see yourself getting into, then give it a shot. It's worth it.
I was going to say, and this is something else that I've enjoyed, that I've seen about Monster Hunter that I enjoy, and I think few games do it properly, is that the single-player and multiplayer is interwoven so well that it's not you don't feel like you're missing out much if you don't play either one.
Yeah, that's totally true. You can basically play completely just the multiplayer part, just a single player part, and basically get the whole experience. Well, except for playing with others. But also, like I say, you have one character. You can take your character from a single player just online and continue playing with him, and you're not losing anything.
Yeah, and you know, like if you do well in the multiplayer, that carries over to the single player, and if you do well in the single player, it carries over to the multiplayer without breaking the game. And I think very few games, you know, like everybody wants to tack on multiplayer, but very few people do it in a way that makes it so that it's actually, you know, like it's a comp. Okay, yeah, Daniel, I think you're gonna have to mute your mic when you're not talking.
No, I'm not doing. That's my keyboard. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say that very few games actually have the foresight to decide that we're going to integrate them in a way that it feels like you should play both of them, yep. but you can still get a proper experience if you just stick to either or.
Yep. And it's also nice that they let you play the multiplayer part solo. So basically you have the Moga Village, which is the single player campaign, which is low rank, high rank. And then you have Tanzia, which is the city for the multiplayer part, and you can tackle that online with other players or via with someone on the 3DS, or you can tackle all those quests also solo with the help of the Shakalaka guys, which is kind of cool. I mean, it's more difficult, but it's not as difficult as the multiplayer version of Tanzia, because they know you're playing the solo, so we are scaling down the damage a bit, scaling down the health a bit, and you can even play that part solo if for some reason you don't want to play with anyone.
You never know why when you want to play and when you don't want to play with somebody.
Yeah.
So what else have you been playing?
The other thing, I finished Bioshock Infinite basically in a day.
That good?
Well, mostly it was because I got it like 3 days before launch, and there were already like spoilers floating around on Facebook and stuff, and so forth. Well,
yeah,
I just marathoned through it, so I don't get in danger of anything spoiling my experience, and that's why I basically. That Saturday, I sat down and played Bioshock from, I think, it was like 11 in the morning to like 10 or 11 in at night, I think. Yeah, something like that, and finished Bioshock in a day. The thing is, I enjoyed playing it. It's not like I didn't enjoy playing it, but
it sounds like a big bug coming here.
The thing is, I think there's a lot of hyperbole going around this game. I don't think it is as groundbreaking as some reviews and other opinions make it sound to be, I think. I mean, it's a great game. The combat is kind of fun, while not the best part. I guess the best part is probably the story, but I even have some caveats about that. My problems were, for one, it felt to me like it was too similar to Bioshock. I kind of expected them to deviate a bit more from the formula, which they didn't. I mean, it makes kind of sense given the story and stuff, but on the other hand, I was like, well, I have this electricity power, which was already great in the first Bioshock, so I guess I continue using that through the whole game because it seems overpowered. I mean, you could
That's basically all I used as well.
Yeah, you can basically get through the game just using that because it's the best power. You shock multiple enemies, they are shocked for some time, and then you can just shoot them while they are unable to do anything.
And this is the kind of stuff that I realized the second time playing it. Like, I was just going around bucking Bronco and then shooting everything. Because bucking Bronco just stops everybody from doing everything. And,
yep.
You know.
True. That's the other power I use in combination most of the time. Or the fire one, which is basically grenades.
Yeah. And like the gameplay just isn't that great.
Yeah,
especially when you're playing it around the second time, and I don't know if you noticed me on Twitter, but yesterday I played it through on normal the first time, and I thought, you know, I'll play it on hard now, and then I got to the boss fight, and that's it. I cannot progress now because I have no ammo, I have no assaults, and Elizabeth decides not to throw me anything, so
I started the game on hard and took it down because I thought the game was not fun on hard.
Like,
because
like
all they do
the
is
that hard. But yeah, this one fucking boss, and this is the first time you fight it, the boss, after, and you know, and I know that I've got to fight it like two more times, and I'm not looking forward to it if I ever get past the first time, because I'm stuck.
I thought the problem...
because all they do is, like, scale the enemy health and damage and stuff,
yeah.
But it's not done in a way such that it makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. That's my
way
problem
too
with
hard.
That. I heard that the 1999 mode is better because they do more than just scaling, but maybe they should have done more for hard mode as well. But that's neither here or there. On medium, it's kind of too easy, though, I have to say.
Oh, it is, for sure.
So they should have found something in between those difficulty levels, I think, for people. The other problem I have, like, was, like, before they were talking about the skyline stuff so much, and I think in the game it was kind of really underused,
yeah.
It felt like.
I wanted, like, in the 2011 E3 demo, there's a large area that you can go around, and there's,
yeah.
like, one or two of those in the actual game, but I wanted everything to be a large yeah. area that I can go around with the sky.
When that stuff happened, it felt to me like, okay, here they are trying basically something like the Halo sandboxes. They're giving me this huge part with the skylines where I can go around everywhere and there are lots of enemies that I can interact with or flee from, stuff like that. And they're basically, like I said, I think two parts where that is really the case and where using the skylines actually makes sense. But the other times, not really. And
see, it's funny because that's exactly how I thought of the skylines as well, but then I've talked to other people who played and were like, I pretty much only fought from skylines. Like, it's really weird to listen to other people talking about how they played, because it's so different from the way I played.
I mean, I used them, but I just thought that there wasn't enough of them to make that part of the game meaningful to me.
And the worst thing I think about Bioshock Infinite's gameplay is the handymen. I hate
yeah,
the handymen.
Right?
I bought the season pass, and conveniently, well, the season pass gives you, you know, the restaurant you go into early in the game where you get the shield.
Mm.
Season pass gives you a hat or something that gives you 50% extra damage on handymen, and it's like, oh, I am taking that, and I'm not going to replace it. And it was so much, the game was so much better for it, because it means that I can just, I have to spend less time wailing on them. And the worst thing is the game says, oh yeah, don't even bother using the skylines, which is probably your one advantage over them, because they can electrocute them.
Mm.
Great.
Yeah.
Cheers. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Also, while we're on the subject of that restaurant, can we just, like, preemptively give the Lutece Twins Character of the Year right now?
Yes.
Probably. They are great. They're really great. The other thing for me was the story. I mean, after playing it for a while, I realized, I mean, I think I was at the halfway point, or something like that. I think the gunsmith part, for people who have been playing it, when the story, well, when some things happen, I can't say anything more.
Yeah, it's really hard to talk about this game.
I realized this game is not going to explain anything to me until the end, right? And that's exactly what happens. The game is basically as convoluted as possible, up until the end, where everything gets basically explained by one character. I think that's kind of terrible.
I don't mind that, to be honest.
It's an exhibition.
I think that
it's they go through so much trouble characterizing one of the characters in a very good way,
yep.
And then in the end, they turn that character into basically your plot bitch.
Yep.
And I feel like it robs that character of all of the personality they worked so hard to give her.
Yep. And like I said, I don't think that's interesting storytelling. Because it would have been more interesting if the game really would make it more possible to actually figure stuff out on your own. If you're not just going to pull the rug under me, like the first Bioshock, then...
The thing is I spent the game sort of piecing together how things work in Colombia instead of worrying about the main plot of the story, which is why it wasn't a bother for me, because, this is what Fink does, and this is how he managed to get this and do that and the other, and, you know...
Yeah,
that's why I didn't have a problem with it.
At some point during my playtime, that's what I also did. I just thought, well, I'm just going to enjoy Colombia, and at the end, everything will probably be explained to me. That's exactly what happened. I just don't think that's great of a way to tell a story. And I also think that a lot of people who've been talking about, there's so many themes in this game, like racism and stuff like that. I think these themes are utterly underutilized.
Yep.
The stuff I have read before about one of the irrational guys being so offended about the religious themes in this game. I was really, really excited about that. And after I finished it, I was like, what was he bothered with? I mean, there's really nothing that controversial in it. And I wish there was something controversial in it.
I mean, it doesn't say anything really about religion at all, so much as religious fundamentalism, which I think everyone would agree is fucked up. Like, that's not really a controversial topic.
Yeah. Daniel, you want to say something about that?
I don't know, I dropped.
Okay. We were just talking about how the themes are underutilized. Like religion and racism.
I don't know, it kind of seemed like to me that, I watched Aaron Signal's video, and I kind of agree with him on this, where he said basically the whole racist sort of undertones just seemed like a place of going, these white people are bad.
Yeah.
And that's it. And after you exit after you exit Battleship Bay, it's sort of never spoken of again.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They should have expanded on it more, I think. Mm-hmm. It's just instead of seeing, just this one small section where you see the racism going on, and then for the rest of the game, we're not concentrating on that right now. We're trying to tell you this, we're trying to tell you that. Yeah, they definitely should have at least tried to fit it in. I mean, I was looking forward to seeing more of the... In one of the demos, there's a bunch of Vox Populi goons, executing a postman, and you get an opportunity to intervene or not. And that only happens once in the game, really. And that's at the beginning with the raffle.
And when it opened with that, I was stoked, because I was like, okay, this is they're doing some stuff with this. And then they just kind of never really picked up from there. That ended up being the biggest moment there was dealing with that.
Yeah, and the last thing that bothered me was probably the linearity of the game. I was kind of hoping for more choices in how to approach Colombia, I guess. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous how they open up stuff. I mean, there are multiple parts in this game where you're basically together with Elizabeth, and then she says, hey, we should go there. Or maybe we could also first go there. And that's basically their approach on linearity. Go to this optional level part or just progress with the story. And it never really opens up, except maybe near the very end, but even that is just backtracking, it felt like. I don't know. I wasn't that big a fan of that part either.
I think the biggest problem that Bioshock Infinite has is it takes... Bioshock 1 didn't really pay any attention to all the sort of modern shooter tropes.
Yeah.
Whereas that's what Bioshock Infinite has done, and it's a much worse game because of it. Because, oh, if only I didn't have to carry two weapons. You know, how many times did have I already said that in my second playthrough? I wish I could carry just one more weapon.
Yep.
You know?
Really?
Yep.
I used, like, one weapon pretty much constantly.
Well,
the thing is,
what happens to me is I'll put money and upgrades into one gun, and I've run out of ammo, and the game has decided it's not going to give me any more ammo for that weapon, so I'll go pick up something else that's now completely underpowered.
For me, I would have preferred three weapons, because then I could have had a shotgun, a machine gun, and one explosive gun.
Yeah.
I just need a carbine for everything, because that gun is fucking broken in that game.
Yeah, my problem actually also was another thing about the guns is I really didn't care for the upgrade system of the guns, because they mainly how they separate the Vox Populi guns and the rest of the Columbia guns in
Something I noticed yesterday is upgrades for Vox guns are much more expensive, and the Vox guns, for the most part, are not any better. They're worse.
In my opinion, what they should have done is just, okay, here's machine gun upgrades, and those should have worked for all the machine guns, and not just for one, I don't know, just for Vox Populi guns, for example. Yeah. That's something I didn't enjoy much either. Also, no New Game Plus, another thing that bothered me.
The save system is so broken, and the checkpoints are so far apart, it's ridiculous.
But other than that, it's actually a good game. I mean,
The thing is, the worst thing about Bioshock Infinite is just what is removed gameplay-wise from Bioshock 1.
Yeah.
It's removed so much stuff, and not for any of the better. And that's. I mean, it's a good game, but it just could be a lot better. Like, the gameplay, like, the story itself, I think, is fine.
Yeah.
But
I just felt, after finishing it, I was like, what was going through my head is, I didn't play a bad game. I played a very good game, but a game that could have been so much more and so much better.
Well, that's
probably my high expectations for Bioshock.
And I assume the fact that
Infinite
has a bunch of tens on
it does so well at so much that makes the stuff it doesn't do well stand out way more.
But it sounds like the stuff it doesn't do well is a lot of important stuff.
But, well, see, it still does it well, just not as good as maybe it does the other stuff.
Yeah, and for a game that has been in development for so long, you might have thought that maybe some of it would have come up during it and maybe fixed, but
just the boss fight, it just amazes me that somebody was playing it and goes, this is fun, I love this.
Dude, even on Medium, I hated it. I don't even know why.
Here's a funny story. On Medium, I died, right? I died the first time you face the boss, and it just goes, oh, don't worry about it. Just go, carry on.
Yeah.
It just
and
skipped it.
And the real problem with it is, I don't even know who thought a boss fight in this game was a good idea. It wasn't in the first game, and in this game, it's not either.
Okay, we're moving on from Bioshock.
Okay. Guacamelee. I played Guacamelee. Guacamelee is basically a Metroidvania, and it's awesome.
Oh, is that what it is? I could never figure out what kind of game it was.
It's a Metroidvania. Guacamelee
is totally a Metroidvania with this great cartoony style. The difference is because you are playing this undead luchador, all your attacks are like, basically Samus Aran gets like new shots. What they do in Guacamelee is they give you new melee attacks. For example, you earn a headbutt or a frog splash, and that gives you opportunities to go through different parts of the world later on and discover new items like health upgrades, or you don't have ammo because you use melee attacks, so you will use stamina, so you can get stamina upgrades, so you can use more of your special attacks. And the thing is, the combat is actually pretty fun because you can chain a lot of the attacks together and get some pretty elaborate combos out of it, which is fun. It has a great sense of humor. I mean, they really go for the Mexican theme, and it's really good. Great music. I love the animations in it. I mean, some people might say it's too short. I don't think so. It's compared to other Metroidvanias, maybe. I don't know. I got the real ending in 6 hours.
Okay, you could beat Metroid, you can beat Super Metroid in less than an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I felt fulfilled, and I mean, that's totally right for the price they're asking. It's not like a real problem. I mean, it's what is it in the US? A $15 game?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for $15, you get the great Metroidvania, and I don't know how you can plan it. Basically, you get a Metroidvania for two systems because it also gets the Vita version. But who owns that?
I will say this much, and I don't really know the company. It is weird that a Metroidvania game isn't on the system with Metroid. You would think that's the audience you'd reach out to, but I guess this is different.
maybe, but the thing is, it's really surprising to me how competently they made this game in being a 2D Metroidvania. It really doesn't have to hide before Metroid or the Iga Castlevania games. It really is on that level, and that's amazing. And they even put in some really, really cool, difficult stuff later on when you get all your abilities and have to find some hidden items. Then they get really, really platformy with where you have to use all your abilities to get through some very difficult stuff, and that was really fun. And they even play homage to some great older titles. I mean, there's a whole sequence where you have appearing and disappearing platforms, and if that doesn't remind you of Mega Man, I don't know. but it was fun, and yeah, great game in general.
Okay. Has anybody else been playing anything this week?
No. I was going to play The Walking Dead, and then I continued to put that off.
Which one?
The demo is what we also
the
played, right?
Proper Walking Dead, not that other bullshit.
Oh. Yes. Oh, yeah. We did both play the Injustice demo. I played the 360 version. I don't know if Virgin Martin played.
PlayStation 3.
Okay, so we'll have compare. Because, you know, I always hear people say this, and I always think the 360 control is awful for fighters.
What was the problem?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Did you not get the special moves out right, or?
Yeah, the analog sticks are always really iffy for fighters, and
yeah,
the D-pad on 360 is really just not that great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't an issue on the PS3 version.
Yeah, the PS3 D-pad is godly.
Yeah, but I have to say, I really, if you remember right, I really liked MK, the last Mortal Kombat game.
Yeah.
And after playing the demo, I don't think I enjoyed it as much as Mortal Kombat 9.
I can see that.
I mean, I like the DC heroes and stuff, but for some reason the combat just didn't feel as loony. Yeah.
It's very, very stiff. Like, the moves don't... I mean, maybe it's because it's a demo and we just haven't really gotten up to speed.
Yeah.
But it seems like a lot of the moves don't really just don't connect that well.
Yeah.
And it's really weird that for... Especially coming from... Like, the characters just animate very stiffly. Like, there's no life to them.
Well, the stiff animation is something you could say that's something that comes from NetherRealm. I mean...
Yeah, but it works for Mortal Kombat.
People don't like the Mortal Kombat animations all that much either. But my problem mainly was that the combos and stuff just didn't feel as intuitive as, for example, in Mortal Kombat 9, I think. And some of the characters just seemed... I mean, I tried Batman and Wonder Woman. I didn't play Lex Luthor. I don't know if you have. And for example, Wonder Woman just felt really uninteresting to me, for example.
I think so does Batman, and it's really sad because he has like all these gadgets at his disposal, and as far as I can tell, he has the grappling hook, the batarang, and
yeah.
some bats. And that's pretty much it for his special attacks.
Yeah, and I actually think that Batman in Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe was actually more fun.
I think so.
More fun to play. He had more interesting moves and stuff he could combo into. I mean, that's actually a great comparison because a lot of these characters you already got to play in MK versus DC, and I have. Also think that the combat there felt more fluently. I can't quite put my finger on it. Maybe I need to spend more time with it, but it just didn't click with me like Mortal Kombat 9 or Street Fighter 4 or something like that.
The other thing, and I found it really odd, especially for... I mean, I get that it's a demo, you don't want to give away everything, but one of the big hooks for this title is the background interactions.
Yeah.
And they just kind of give you one stage. Like, they give you two parts of it, but they give you one stage. And it's the least interesting ones, it seems, because as far as I can tell, you can throw, like, the trash bin in the background. You can,
yeah.
like, open a water hose. You can flip off the bat signal. And I think you can, like, kick a sign and throw it at you. I was playing as Batman, so... Like different, but I'm like, yeah, this doesn't seem that interesting. And then they have like the video at the end of the demo, and it's like, yeah, some of these stages would have been more intriguing to show off, or some of these characters. I think,
yeah,
especially
characters. When I saw the trailer, I was like, I want to try out Aquaman, I want to try out Green Arrow, I want to try out the Flash, and I want to try out Deathstroke, and not these characters you gave me.
Yeah, I love Batman. Absolutely.
I love
do,
Batman
but,
as well, but...
But it's not a very interesting character for a demo, because he seems to be like your base level character, like the beginner level character. And like his moveset isn't that interesting, and it makes sense. I mean, he's the best fighter in DC, but if you have a bunch of supernatural beings, his offense is just punches and kicks. I mean, again, this is a demo, so I don't like the transitions between stages. It's really just cheap. It's just like him staring into the background and stuff like that. And we've had this discussion before, and I you know, it's probably going to be fixed over time with DLC, but the costume designs are just awful.
Yeah. God, for the most part. I mean, some look cool. I mean, Deathstroke, for example, I think looks cool. And Aquaman,
I think Aquaman,
cool.
Yeah, Aquaman looks cool. Sinestro looks nice.
But, for example, Batman, god-awful.
Wonder Woman, bad.
Lex Luthor's alright.
I was going to say, that's not their decision. I just don't like that costume.
Yeah.
His power armor. And it's just really... Like, it feels like it has a ton of potential, and I wish they had focused more on like the super moves, kind of like Marvel vs. Capcom does.
Yeah.
Because some of the super moves are really awesome, but it's like that's like the most exciting part of the game to me so far, and it takes forever to get them, and they don't do that much damage.
Yeah, they took Mortal Kombat, tried to make the combat simpler. While also making it more stiff and actually reducing the amount of special moves.
Yeah, I think they should have
That's
done
what
it the other
like.
Way. I feel like they should have taken that and made it a bit more fast. And they shouldn't have made it as dark as it is. It really should have been a bit lighter, because this is basically a Mortal Kombat skin.
They should have, like I said, they should have made it more crazy like Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah.
Maybe not the whole way there. There's probably a midpoint between Mortal Kombat and Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's a ton of midpoints between them. The fact is that they went in the opposite direction. It's really interesting coming from DC, because the thing that they usually get criticized for is that their characters are so one-dimensional and, you know, black and white. And this is kind of like, I don't know if you've seen the opening cinematic. It's Superman basically killing Joker.
No, I have not seen that.
Oh, spoilers.
It's the opening cinematic.
It's the opening cinematic, yeah.
Count it as a spoiler.
It's the opening cinematic, and it also happened in the comic book that came out pre-launch. But yeah, it's some really odd decisions, and I think this game had a ton of potential. I'm sure it's a good game, I just don't...
Yeah.
If I pick it up, I'll probably pick it up for like $20.
Exactly. I mean, I also don't think it's a bad game. It's probably going to end up pretty good, but having played Street Fighter 4 and the last Mortal Kombat, it just doesn't feel like it's up to that level, at least not judging by the demo. The other thing I would have liked to have tested with the demo is actually the online portion, because the netcode in Mortal Kombat was not good at all. So I would have liked to get a taste of that beforehand, and they didn't give me that, so that also makes me skeptical of picking it up.
Okay. So yeah, I think that's it for what we've been playing. I mean, I've been playing Lego City and Luigi's Mansion, but I already
I've been playing Age of Empires 2, because I re-released it.
Yay. How is
and, basically, I got no more. They managed to take a 13-year-old game that should be able to run on any computer made in the last 10 years and be able to play over any internet connection ever, because it was designed for dial-up, and they made it so it's a laggy mess with a low frame rate. So
at least they added widescreen, right?
They added widescreen, and if you want, if you've got multiple monitors, you can stretch it across all of them, which is great.
Sounds great. I will buy that.
But I would wait until they get... And it's not for Mac, by the way, which some people were kind of disappointed at, because obviously the original Age of Empires 2 had a Mac port. But yeah, it's not for Mac at the moment. But other than that, it's Age of Empires 2 with some ugly visual changes. Not very many, but Steam Workshop is there for you to mod them out.
Well, to be honest, I only ever enjoyed the single player portion of Age of Empires, so that's probably still fine.
Probably for you, yeah, whereas not for everyone.
But I played the shit out of it back then, so I don't really know if I want to get back to it.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say I got into the Marvel Heroes beta, but I forgot to download it. And it's only this weekend, so I should probably look into that.
I'm actually in the Warface beta. For like 2 weeks, and I also have not tried that out either.
So I'll give you a hint. It's not very good.
Oh, right. Then I don't have to.
Shocking. With the name like Warface, you can see they put a lot of thought into this title.